This call is being...
Good evening, it's Andrew.
Good evening, it's Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. Hello, everybody. It's 7 o'clock. Welcome to class tonight. Intro to Preaching and Teaching, class number 3. Go ahead, say hello as you come in. I will be taking roll.
Hello, this is Jonathan.
Okay, cool. I got
good evening, it's Moni.
Hey, Moni. Hey, Jonathan.
Good evening, it's Barbara.
Hey, Barbara.
Good evening, it's Beverly.
That was Beverly?
Yes.
Awesome. How are you doing, Beverly?
I'm good.
This is Noella.
Noella. Hey, Noella. Hi. Sorry about this morning. Wish I could have taken you to the airport, but I was a little busy at that time.
Yeah, I figured. I heard. That's all right. I'm here. I'm back.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Who else do we have? We had a couple others say hi there. Sorry about that.
Good evening. It's Andrew.
Andrew.
What's up?
All right. Who else do we got there? I heard somebody else too. No one yet? All right. Well, you guys, I know who all the people were that were on time in school and at work. I know. I know that you guys are all the on-time folks. I envy you. I'd probably be calling in four or five minutes from now. I hope everybody's having a good week. Just feel free to say hello as everyone calls in. We're still missing about half the class.
Hello, Trina's here.
Trina. There we go. All right. Gotcha. Awesome.
Good morning. Good evening. This is the Smiths are in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. We got the Smiths in the house. Awesome.
Hi. Gloria's here.
Gloria, how are you? Hope you're having a good evening.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Just finished dinner. Got my little sister here in town with us. Her and my wife are they're in the other room. I was like, oh, guys, I got to go. I was like, a class starting in a little bit. So they're out there hanging out without me right now.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Got a couple more minutes. Could probably give it about 2 or 3 more minutes waiting for everybody to show up. We got a handful of folks we're still waiting for. Give it a couple more minutes. If you're calling in, feel free to say hi. I'm taking roll right now.
Renee, good evening.
Who was that? I didn't catch that.
Renee.
Renee, got you. Renee, all right, got you. All right. And okay. All right, it's 7:05, so I'm going to kind of get started. I'll go around. I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to round up our playbacks right now. I have the first two playbacks from class one and class two. Tonight's our final class. We're going to be doing structure. Tonight's not going to be a spiritual type night of any sort. You know, we really covered that stuff in the first two classes. Tonight is going to be very mechanical, very, very pragmatic, very logistical, very structured as far as how we're going to structure our messages tonight. If there was any class, I mean, obviously, I would hope you're taking notes for every class, but if there is any class to really take notes to prepare you for the finals next week, tonight would be the class to really take notes. Also, tonight, for sure tonight, I will send out all three playbacks to you guys via email, and then one final prompt to prepare you for what to expect next week. And then I want to at least get some feedback with everybody. Before we kind of get started and all that stuff, I'm just going to take roll. We got Gloria here today. Do we have Ramona? Are you on, Ramona? Okay, so no Ramona yet. Bernice, are you on, Bernice?
She'll be on late.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and mark Bernice here. And then Leticia, are you on?
I'm present.
No, all right. Awesome. Okay. And then Yvette? Okay, no Yvette yet. And Ms. D, are you there? Okay, and then last but not least, Sonia. Are you on, Sonia? Okay, cool. So everybody else is all present and accounted for. Okay, so let's kind of get into it. Real quick recap. So week one, we talked about stillness and the power of stillness. You know, the big thing I wanted to really just get across before we kind of move away from that, you know, we obviously need it and getting prepared for the final message, but usually I've noticed sometimes we got to just continue to push deeper into stillness. And it's kind of like that verse in, man, I could be wrong. I know there's a 4 in it, but it's either Ezekiel 14 or 47. I'm trying to Google it right now as I talk, but I don't really multitask like that well. It is 47. Okay, I was right. I knew there was a 4 in it. You know where he's walking deeper in the water, and then it was, he led me through water that was knee deep, and then, you know, and then going on swarms of living creatures. And, you know, I just love that poetically, that whole chapter. But that's kind of what we have to do sometimes in our stillness time with the Lord, as we're getting direction. And it's very metaphoric, right? It's very symbolic as you're going deeper. And whatever your calling is, if your calling is community outreach, that's a huge one for that. If you're a calling, you know that God has placed a calling on your life to be a pastor, then you need to go deeper in that. If you have the office of prophet on your life, I promise you that you have to go deeper in stillness. That is your everyday. That's going to be your everyday. No arguing. Like, you just have to continue to push deeper and deeper in various different ways. And if you have traveling, you know, missionaries or you know, whatever, what have you, or you're planning churches and that's what God has called you to do, or God has called you to start a company, or God has called you to be an actor, or God has called you to work in finance, whatever it is, going further and deeper in stillness is going to give you that strategy. And we see here that in this portion of Ezekiel, there's very specific details that God reveals through going deeper. You know, so I really wanted to make sure that we had that really, really firm. And if you're in a place right now where it's really hard to push through in that stillness, I want to encourage you to not give up, because you do have an adversary. And if there's one thing the enemy does not want, the enemy does not want us spending stillness, a still, peaceful time receiving and being ministered to from the Lord. He just doesn't want that. Because if you're going to get refreshed, you're going to get renewed, you're going to get revelation, you're going to get the three R's, if you're going to get that spending time with God, wouldn't it make sense the enemy does not want you to be there? He doesn't want you to go to that place, to that secret place with the Lord. And I'll tell you one thing. My wife and I used to wake up at, I want to say, like 3:30, 4 in the morning. We used to wake up at 4 in the morning every day, every single day, no matter what. We'd wake up every morning at 4 a.m. and we would pray and we would worship. And it changed our lives. Like, it literally, I can't tell you, financially, job-wise, relationships, ministry, family, every single thing, it just changed when we started waking up at 4 a.m. It was just, I can't even explain it. And I'm going to tell you the truth, that time came under attack so much. There was one night where, and I think I've spoke about this before in a declaration, there was one night a minute before 4 a.m., or a couple of minutes before 4 a.m., our fire alarms in our apartment started just going crazy. They started saying fire, 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 like because they're like these newer type ones that they speak or whatever. It came under attack badly. Like, the craziest stuff was happening before 4 a.m. The craziest stuff was happening, so we couldn't go to sleep early to wake up at 4 a.m. and we were just too tired to wake up. It came under heavy, heavy attack. Even when the guys came to repair our fire alarms, they're like, there's nothing wrong with your fire alarms. I'm like, bro, trust me, there's something wrong with the fire alarms, because we're trying to get ready. We're trying to pray. We're trying to sleep before that 4 a.m. hits. So we're getting every last minute before we wake up. I was like, it said fire. And he was like, these alarms are designed, they will only say fire if it is an actual fire in here. He's like, if it was a battery, he said, they'll say battery. He's like, if it's smoke, they'll say smoke. If it's like carbon monoxide, they'll say carbon monoxide. He's like, it is programmed that it will only say fire if there's an actual fire. And my wife knew it. You know, my wife, she said the second she heard it, like, she was like, I knew we were being attacked. It was because it was changing our life. Your stillness time will come under attack. The enemy does not want you to push in further. And even if you've been doing it for 30 years, you've been doing it for 20 years, and you're like, yeah, I hear God. I know God's voice and this and that. Sometimes practice just being still in front of God. Sometimes practice just being in his presence. It's like, all you married folks know, sometimes you don't always need to be talking to your spouse. If you guys are just sitting on the couch, you're cooking together, you're watching TV or something, it's not always a conversation, not always accomplishing something. Sometimes the best thing to do is just be there together, to just lay next to each other, or just sit, cuddle, or lay, you know, whatever, sit next to each other, whatever. Sometimes it's actually meaningful to just be with someone without getting something from them. And that's what we have to practice with God, is we can't get accustomed to treating God like an ATM machine. God, I need an answer to this. God, I need to hear you for that. I need to hear this, this, and this, and that. When we're still before God and we don't hear anything, it honors him, because we value relationship with him. because it's great. Like I look at my parents and I love my parents so much. They're the two wisest people I've ever met. I got to be back in San Jose with them, or in, they're in South Bay. They moved to San Martin now, but I got to be with them this weekend and it was just cool. I didn't need anything from them. I just spent time with them. I cooked with them. We laughed. My nephew was there singing, dancing, and just so much joy in that house. That house was packed with joy. And I didn't need, I wasn't, mom, can you give me this? Mom, can you do that? Mom, dad, can you do this? Dad, like we just enjoyed each other. And a lot of times we didn't talk. I don't even think I sat down and talked one-on-one with anybody that whole weekend, you know? So sometimes it's very valuable to just be there in God's presence. So it's very natural for us to have all the volume, especially if you have more responsibility in your life. It's going to be hard to silence that. And you got to leave that. Just like you don't bring problems from work home and you don't take your problems into work and start telling your boss, well, you know what, I'm actually not going to have that report for you done because I'm not talking to my husband right now. And it's like, you need to get that report. You need to get that report done. They're not, that doesn't fly like that, you know. It's the same thing with God. We can't go to God with just all this stuff saying, well, you know what, God, I would spend time with you, but man, I got like three projects right now with these two different jobs. And then this person, they're stressing me out, Lord. I don't know why. This family member is just stressing me out, Lord. They're just on my mind all the time. It's like stillness is practicing silencing those things out of reverence for God and his character and his nature when we're in those still places. And it's very honoring for God. And I'm going to tell you this. The truth is God will always oscillate and fluctuate between seasons of silence with you and seasons of speaking so much that you're filling prayer journals every week, you know, and it has to be that way. It's an ebb and flow. He's a God of rhythm and flow. And we have to respond like that. It's like dancing, you know, and it's very poetic and we have to flow with him like that in the seasons of our life. And we all know that sometimes we're just not hearing from him and sometimes we need to test the water and see, oh, okay, that wasn't for me. And sometimes we need to go out and test things. And sometimes we just need to trust what he said 5 years ago or 10 years ago and just trust that he said he's going to do it. I've waited for promise for at least a decade of some promises. Some promises I've waited 5 weeks. Some promises were 30 days. I saw one, God gave me a promise 2 weeks ago, and within 2 weeks it was answered. I'm just like, and it's huge. And it was one I was like, wow, that's pretty big. And I just trusted him. Whether it was going to be when he said or it was going to be later, it's just, I trusted him. So that stillness time, we have to protect that. We really, really have to fight for that. And it's not worth anything if we don't have to fight for it, if we don't have to defend it. And we talked about the ways in class one, and we talked a lot about that. So I want to encourage you to continue pushing deeper, because I noticed the one thing that the feedback I'm constantly getting from almost everybody is it's hard to get to that place of silence and stillness. You've got to work towards it. Like I said, it's just like the gym. You can't just go in the gym and expect just boom, like that, it's going to happen. You got to work towards it. Be still, be calm. Don't get too ahead of yourself. You know, I'm a Enneagram type 3, and my whole life sometimes revolves around accomplishment and success. And sometimes I need to redefine what an accomplishment is for my own self, for my own sanity. So for you, maybe it might be 5 minutes. Redefine what that means. You don't need to spend 3 hours with God in silence and you're levitating and there's smoke coming out of the ceiling. Like it might not always be that. You might not always cry. You might not always have like a great crazy breakthrough. But I'm telling you, I promise you, you're getting refreshed. Your spirit's getting refreshed, especially after work, especially after you preach, especially after you minister to somebody, especially after you're around those spiritual vampires where they kind of just drain you, whether they're gossiping or they're complaining or they have a problem or something. Like you're getting drained, you're getting emptied out. You need to go back and spend time with God again. And this is how you know you're empty. You start to give in to things you don't normally give into. Maybe it's stress, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's lust, maybe it's whatever it is. When you're empty, you're an easy target. Because I don't care how good of a fighter you are, when it's the 12th round and you're tired, I could probably walk up and knock you out. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not a big guy. You know what I mean? Like anybody probably could. You know, it doesn't matter. Sometimes all the enemy needs to do is wait till we're tired to really strike. Because you could be the most fire powerhouse prayer warrior praying prayers that route demons, and you know you're the next coming of Billy Graham and just all these things, like, but I guarantee you when you're tired you're not there, because I just saw this painting of Jesus, and it reflects when he was really tired and worn out at the end of those 40 days. And I think it's a very beautiful representation of what it's like to hold on moments before the victory, to temptation, to weakness, to us being, you know, our moments of weakness, our moments of being tired, all that stuff. So you got to fight. You got to fight for that stillness, okay? And that was the whole point of class one. Class two, we talked about testimony. We talked about the power of seeing what we've gone through in current present scenarios and situations. And you hear somebody talking about, man, it's hard. My parents are fighting all the time. And, you know, it's hard. You're talking to a younger person and, you know, they're just like, man, yeah, my parents are just going through it. And you think back to 20 years ago when your parents were going it, 30 years ago, 40, 50, 60 years ago, where you're like, man, I know what this kid's going through. Like, I went through that too. Like, and it hurts. And then you start using your testimony to teach them and translate their situation to them. You need to translate people's situation to them, because a lot of people, they get this situation and they don't know how to read it. They don't have any guide. They don't have anything. They don't know God the way you know God. They don't know how to transform and recycle a situation into a lesson from God, into growth from God, all these different things. So it's up to those of us who do know to translate it to them. We talked about that in class too. How do I take something I've been through and use it and harness it, right? And then now teach somebody and give somebody else breakthrough from the pain that I went through. Because Dwayne, I know some of you guys know Dwayne, Noella's son, we were at a prayer meeting the other day, and Dwayne said, don't quote me on this, but I'm paraphrasing. He said, God loves somebody so much, he's allowing you to go through the difficult season that you're going through right now, because you're going to reach that person. You know, and that was so powerful when I heard that. I love that. And like, I've just been on that for a while, you know, since I first heard him say that. And, you know, Dwayne's a very gifted speaker, and he knows that. He knows how to translate those situations he's been through to help people, to bring people that to that place of breakthrough and freedom. And that's what all of you are called to do. And I know you're in this class because I know God is preparing this as a launch pad to take you to that next season, to see, you know, can you humble yourself? Can you go to that place where you're like, well, you know what, I don't have every answer, but I went through what you went through when I was your age. So that's what we talked about in class two. Tonight in class three, it's going to be a very quick class again, just like class two, because it's not really the primary part, but I want to just break down, how do you structure a message now? We understand stillness and hearing what we're going to talk about. We understand now using our testimony and our experience, our wisdom. How do we now use our life testimony now to take what God told us to teach in our stillness, and then we're going to give a message. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to break it into two parts. One, I'm going to tell you what the process is normally for me and what it looks like. And then part two of the class, I'm going to be talking about maybe for 7 or 8 minutes each one. So it's going to go by kind of quick tonight because I want to get back into that game. I'm going to go through our class list and I'm going to call on everybody one by one. And we're going to do the popcorn sermon game. We're going to do that again tonight. And then we're going to break into our final questions before. I want to give a lot of time to the popcorn game so we can get our creative juices flowing. And I want to give a lot of time to discussion so we can get all of our questions out for next week. Logistically, what's it going to look like? Are we going to do Wednesday and Thursday? Is everybody feel comfortable doing it at this point? Does some others want some help, maybe some one-on-one time throughout the next week? That's why I wanted to have everybody have their assignment in by this Saturday. Also, apologies. Last night I sent that email out really late at night. I was half asleep. I never really stay up that late. And I put Saturday, June 18th, which would have been yesterday. But I was doing other things that were due yesterday and for other projects. So I'm sorry about that. Saturday, June 22nd. Thank you to everybody. That was the one thing. Everybody, I got like 12 emails like, you mean Saturday, June 22nd? I'm like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I put the wrong date. I didn't even realize it. So I'm sorry. Saturday, June 22nd. At least have to me what you want to talk about next week, what you want to teach on, what you feel is right. And we'll kind of tailor it a little bit. We'll talk about whether you have a testimony to power that. And then I'm going to teach you guys tonight what I call the 3-point system, which is an intro, a conclusion, and then 3 bullet points that you talk through. and then support each bullet point with scripture. This is how I do every single message, and it can be expanded if you needed to speak for 2 hours, and it can be condensed if you needed to speak for 10 minutes, which is going to be the case. So it's going to be really easy next week. But the biggest things I want to say is make sure that your word is 10 minutes, no more, no less. One, because we have to fit everybody in, and we have a lot of people. We have almost 20 people in this class. So we got to make sure that we have enough time that everybody gets feedback. I'm going to email you too, more in depth, but I really, really want to make sure that we give everybody a chance to speak, because this is what you're going to be doing on Declare Victory. This is what you're going to be doing at your church. This is going to be what you're doing 5 years from now, a year from now, and you're giving messages to people. You have to be able to fit in a lot of time. If you're giving a message on a Sunday morning, you can't walk away 20 minutes early and be like, all right, can the worship team come up, and worship team's over, still at a restaurant getting food or something. You know what I mean? Like, if they leave, you know. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to be able to fit your time and not go over and not be under. You got to be precise with this. And we're going to cover that in a little bit. So before we kind of get into tonight, I'm definitely going to pray. Just real quick recap. We went over class one, went over class two. I got almost everybody's class one homework. I think it was just three people I didn't get it from. And then we went over class two. Tonight, I'm just going to speak for maybe 15 minutes on the subject. We should be done by 7:45 with the actual teaching portion of tonight. And then I'm going to go one by one through the list. And I encourage you to do a popcorn sermon. I'm going to give you an item, and I want you to create a sermon out of that item. I want you to tell me how can I create, and I'm going to get a little bit creative with it too. So I'm not going to just say like, oh, a cup. You know, I'm going to tell you something like, okay, give me a sermon out of a car being broken down. You know, I'm going to go through it with that. I'm going to start with whoever didn't go, and then we'll circle around back to some of the folks who went. So real quick, before we get started, just everybody, if you can make sure that your line is muted, if you could just look down at your phone and just that mute button, just hit that mute button, and we'll get started. Okay. I really appreciate you guys. Appreciate everybody being on time tonight. And I'm so excited. I know this is going to be amazing tonight. And I can't tell you guys how excited I am to hear your sermons next week. I know you guys are going to kill it. Like, it's just going to be amazing. I'm so excited for that. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for our third and final class. Lord, this has just been an amazing, amazing experience. I am so excited for Wednesday nights every week. Lord, this has been so fun. This has been so character building. This has just been amazing. And it's all glory to you, Lord. That's the most amazing part, is that it's all glory and honor to you. You get all the glory in this. You get all the honor. It just, everything you've done through each one of us and then taking us to another level, it's just beautiful. I love what you're doing, Lord. Thank you so much. I ask that you be with us tonight. Guard our hearts, guard our minds, that we're able to just chew everything through and process what we need to process. And if it's not for us, we just let it go, and that you're just here with us. And I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for letting our hearts shine through and being at the heart and at the core of this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's get into it. So this is what I do. And when I'm getting ready to give a message, give a sermon, to give any kind of teaching, this is what my process looks like. The very first thing I do is I just spend stillness. I spend communion time with God. It's my still time, stillness. I'm just, throughout the week, just spending time with God. And let's say Friday, I got a message Friday. I got to give a message Friday. Let's give Declare Victory, as an example. So I got Friday, Declare Victory, and it's Monday. So wake up, go spend time with God, just kind of on the back patio, just overlooking everything. We got a nice view and the waterfall and mountains and all this stuff. And I'm just kind of looking and just spending time with God. And I don't need a message yet. I'll let him put it on my heart, because sometimes I'll get the message in that still time. Sometimes I'll get the message while I'm talking to somebody at work. I'm emailing somebody. I'm talking face-to-face with somebody at the store. In my stillness, in my spirit, I make that a daily thing. Wherever I'm at, I can be still in the car for 5 minutes before I walk into a meeting. I can be still on a drive. I can be still while I'm in line at the grocery store, because I've trained myself to be at the point where it's like, just relax, just let everything go. Let God speak to you. Let God speak. Let him illustrate certain things. Who do you need to pray for in this room? Who do you need to pray for in this line? What's going on right now? What are you feeling? What are you picking up on? And I just let God move, and I let God be God everywhere I walk into. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of years to work into that. If anybody else does that, they know that. They can attest to that. And throughout that time, God knows when you need to give a word. He knows the word that you need to give to that congregation. So he's not going to let you miss that, because that's his business. You're just a representative, but it's his business. And it'll hit me. Sometimes it hits me the night before. Sometimes I have it a week or 2 weeks before, and I just kind of sit on it and just let it marinate. And I just let it cook. Let him teach me through the situations in my life, maybe something I'm going through that month. Let him bring it to the surface. Collect all these testimonies. And that's my second phase. So that's phase one. Is just the reason why I wanted us to practice being still is because I want you to just get accustomed to quieting out the world no matter where you're at, to be hearing from God, because this isn't just beneficial in your teaching. This is going to be beneficial in your marriage. It's going to be beneficial with your kids. It's going to be beneficial in your family and at work and in with your business partnerships and with all these different things. Being still and listening to God is going to guide you, because there's times where I'm talking to somebody and I'm just being still and they're telling me something. And because I'm being still in that moment, I'll hear God tell me, they're not going to get that job. That's not where I have them. And they're telling me, so, hey, can you just pray for me for this job? And I'm like, well, let's do this. Let's pray for God to close the door to whatever opportunity is not from him, and that those closed doors, they expedite you going to the open door that God has for you. They're like, yeah, cool, whatever, but I want this job, so pray for this job. But I hear God telling me in my spirit, they want the job because they want the security and the paycheck. But where I have them going is where they're going to minister to people. And so I will direct their spirit to that. I'll pray, but I know that because I'm being still. And I'll pray for them and I'll say, you know what, Lord, we just want to ask that you close any opportunity that's not from you, and that you lead them and direct them. And if this is the opportunity that you have for them, Lord, just give them peace in that interview. Lord, give them favor with man, that it extends favor from heaven, Lord, through this employer, through this hiring manager, through HR, and that you are in that process. And I just go in with them, right? And then there's other times where, like, and then they don't get the job. It's never failed. Like, and it's not because I'm like some amazing receptor for God's word, but I just practice listening to God. I just care to hear what he says about every single situation. And they'll tell me, yeah, they didn't call me back or whatever. But I knew that in my spirit, we prayed for the right opportunity. And whether it comes a month from now or a year from now or a day from now, they will be at the place that God called them to, because I believe in prayer. And there's been times where it's happened the opposite way, where immediately the second somebody tells me about a job, I'm like, that's the job. I could feel it in my spirit. I just know that's where they're meant to be, you know, and that just comes from spending stillness time. So when you're accustomed to that, you know, when God's speaking to you, you know, when you're like, okay, Lord, I got to give that sermon on Friday. You already can feel him. You could feel him speaking to you. I want to be speaking to the congregation about repentance. I don't want it to be taboo. I want them to learn how to approach me and allow my heart, my character and nature to guide and change their heart's direction. And it's like, boom, we're talking about repentance. So that's phase one, right? That's just an example, but that's phase one. We're being sensitive to where God's saying to go, what he's saying to move. There's been times where I was going to go to a church to my friends lead, or worship leaders, and they travel the country and lead worship, and I've had a chance to lead worship with them, and they're just awesome. And they're playing in Menlo Park, and I was leaving South Bay, South San Jose, at like 7 in the morning to make it to their church. And halfway down the 101 or 85, 87, I forgot which way I was going, I felt God in my spirit tell me, you're not going to go to the church they're leading worship at, Menlo Park. I want you to go to this church. And I'm like, oh, I've never even been to that church. And I'm like Googling it, how to pull over and Google how to get there. And I go there and I walk into this church. And immediately I got to turn it on and turn it off sometimes, seeing in the spirit. But I could just see it so clearly. I could see people coming into this church, flowing in. I saw a waterfall of people. Like just coming in, the waterfall was hitting and it was transforming into people, and they were all coming. And then I saw an eagle perched on top of a rock, and I knew that it was intercession. I knew that this church had a gift for prophetic intercession. They had an anointing that hadn't been tapped into about prophetic intercession that was going to give influence and directive to church-related movements in the community in the Bay Area. And it was going to be stemmed from this church and their relationships and all these different things. And I could see it so clearly, but I also saw the third thing. I saw that this church, because of their influence and their prophetic intercession and their gifting in that, that they were being hit hard with attacks. They were being hit hard with attacks with, I saw specifically sexual abuse. And I saw specifically other things that were trying to ruin the influence that this church had with other churches. And I prayed and I was still, and I heard that, right? And I asked God, I was like, God, well, okay, well, who do you want me to deliver this word to? Who do you want me to speak to? And he told me, that guy. And I saw this guy. And I recognized that he was the guy that was speaking up there. And I didn't know who the head pastor was. I didn't know who it was. And it turns out he was the head pastor. So I went up to him and I talked to him. And I didn't just go run up to him and say, oh, hey, you know, man, I got this crazy word. I got to tell you, you know, this and that. There was a lot of dialogue between me and God for about a good 20 minutes. Before I was sitting in the cafe area and I'm getting all my confirmation. I'm creating dialogue. God's telling me what to use this, what verse is backing this up, what is that? And I'm getting all of my game plan going, right? I'm using my testimony, my experience of when I've done this before, all those other times. And then I finally walk up to him and I introduce myself. I tell him where I'm from, who I serve under. And I'm like, we start talking, we get to know each other a little bit. And then when the moment's right, I felt God pressing on my heart. I was like, hey, can I share a word that I received for you in your congregation during your service? He's like, yeah, absolutely. And so I give him the word. And then just this guy is looking at me with the biggest eyes and he's just shocked. And he's just telling me, he's like, you know, this is just so encouraging because this is exactly what we've been going through and we've been crying out and asking. So me listening into God that day prevented me from going to just hang out at a church, from me going to make an impact at a church. This is a church that I walked into. And because I told him about myself and who I serve, he knew our leadership and he knew my pastor. So he was like, okay, I know that they're a well-respected church. This is not a bunch of loose cannons coming out of this church or anything like that. There's no bad reputation. I knew that I had to build up that rapport before I did that, but I wouldn't have known any of that stuff if I hadn't been still. So that's what happens when you're getting ready for the message. You got to be still and receive from God because God wants to talk to you. He wants to give you this information because at the heart of all this is about his love for his church, his people, unbelievers, unsaved, and reaching a world that is desperate to hear from him. And who better to pass that through than people like us who are all willing to go there. But it's a mountain we have to climb sometimes. And that can take days. It can take a couple weeks. It's okay if you went to go be still with the Lord and it was loud and you're just stressed about work and you got to sit in traffic tomorrow. You're a human being. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up. Don't get mad. You don't always need to get an answer like that. It took me a lot of years to get to that point to where I can sit down anywhere I needed to go and sit down and hear from the Lord for somebody. And it wasn't always like that. And I got a lot of things wrong in my first couple of years of that. And there was a lot of grace and room for growth for me. And I'm just so blessed to have that. And I've been shaped by really, really wonderful people. And it's awesome, but it comes with time. It comes with time and you will develop it eventually if you don't have that already. And if you do, like I said, I encourage you to go deeper, more detail, more specific information. Get that specific information from people. You can absolutely do that. I operate in words of knowledge almost every day, definitely weekly and almost every day. And with a word of knowledge, you will be telling somebody their phone number and you'll be telling somebody the street that they grew up on. You'll be telling people very specific information like that because at the heart of those encounters is God showing somebody, I care about that. I care about you. You know, if you tell somebody their spouse's name and that God sees a struggle they're going through, that means that they could be having doubt in their marriage, but that God knows their spouse's name. It shows them that God is in that marriage right now. He is repairing what they think can't be repaired, what they think they can't repair. It's very important for us to hear from God. As believers here today in 2019, in this day and age, in a day and age that is so against the church, that is so against moves of God, that is so scientific, in a world that relies on statistical, empirical data that is gathered and evidence, we need to show and demonstrate that God still speaks. And we absolutely have the capacity to do that. You absolutely have the capacity to do that. And that's why it's important for us to sit down and hear from God, because it's not just about us surviving anymore. It's not just about us getting by. It's not just about us going paycheck to paycheck. When we sit in that stillness, what it's about is us now bringing miracles to earth. Because it's a miracle when somebody walks up to you at a church service and says, hey, can I share something? The Lord's telling me, you know, this and that, and I got this message. And that word breaks down the walls around that person's heart. You know, those are miracles. So when you're still before that message, you're going to receive what God wants to tell that congregation. You're going to hear specifically, and you will hit the mark every time. Whether they know you're hitting the mark or they don't know you're hitting the mark, you will hit the mark every time. Because you spoke not what you wanted to speak, not what you thought should be spoken. Because I'm going to tell you this, if you speak from you and your own knowledge, your own wisdom, and your own theology, and your own doctrine, your own whatever, you're going to miss the mark. Somebody's going to argue with you at some point. Someone's going to say something. But if you speak what God's telling you to speak, it will always hit the mark because it's God's will. God will always show up there. You will always know. Because if you're like, okay, God, yeah, I hear you, but I really want to talk about this. I want to talk about this thing. And it doesn't mean that what you want to talk about is wrong necessarily, but it's not what God wants to say in that time. And it's like, we prophesied in your name, Lord, and we cast out demons in your name, but you were makers of lawlessness. And following laws, following just structured order, we're just following what's been set out before us by the Lord. You know, so that's what phase one is. Phase two is, how do I relate to that message now? Phase two is how do I now, God told me what he wants me to speak, right? Let's just say, for example, he wants me to speak about joy. All right, and he's been putting on my heart in the stillness, and I know this congregation, they need joy. Phase two, what do I know about joy? What could I possibly teach somebody on joy? Do I know how to define joy right now? Do I need to go look up the definition? What about verses about joy? The very first thing I do when I get a message and I start thinking about how I relate to it, I always type into Google verses about XYZ, verses about this, verses about joy, verses about the threshing floor, the verses about resurrection, verses about, verses about baptism, you know, whatever it is. I start filling my mind on scripture of it to align myself with what is the continuation of, I have God's revelation. Now his word will always back that up. Now I need to fill myself and marinate in the word. So what is God saying about this subject? Let me bring my spirit into alignment with what his word says on this subject. And I just become a master at whatever that subject is, maybe even just that week, but I do it, you know, I got to do it. So you start filling your head with all these words, right? And it's like, because you're going to speak scripture without speaking scripture. And you're going to do that with your testimony. You're going to do that with your wisdom. You're going to do that experience, because you can recite a scripture, but not everybody knows how to understand scripture. Not everybody understands or knows how to interpret scripture in the living word, which is the layers below, you know, the surface level of scripture. So it's up to us now to take that and these deep concepts and these deep theological doctrines and all these different things. And like, we're like a living, breathing exegesis, you know, like machine, you know, we're just like, you know, we're like walking, breathing translator of the Bible. That's what we become in that moment. So phase two is where I start to think about what qualifies me to talk about this. So if it's fear and I'm giving a message on fear, I'm going to think back, how did I overcome fear? What do I do now when I feel fear creeping in? What do I do when I discern fear? Do I have any situations where I was just completely frozen with fear? Do I have any situations where God broke me out of fear? And more than likely, you are going to have an experience or a testimony of it. Even if you have to like dig real deep, you're going to have it. So what happens in phase two is you're collecting it. This is where you start writing this stuff down, the loose information that you're going to eventually sculpt and shape into your message. Okay, now here's phase three. Phase three is the practical translation of phase one and two into a finished product that is ready to be delivered to a congregation. And the reason why we didn't spend too much time on the structure of this is because if you have a good message and you have a message that is from God, that is a right now word for that congregation, more than likely you're going to be able to go off the top of your head. More than likely you're going to be able to riff on it or just like freestyle or improvise on it. And to be completely honest with you, I'd say about with Declare Victory, for example, I'd say about 98% of the declarations, I'm not following anything. I'm just speaking from my heart, from what I know. And I have the verses in front of me. And I use the verses as my talking points. And I jump from verse to verse. And then I just talk, I talk out. And so here's how you're going to do it practically now. And I'm going to close out with this over the next couple minutes. You're going to have, for you guys next week, you're going to have an intro. And we're doing 10 minutes. Each person is getting a 10-minute slot. And you have to fit it in that 10-minute slot. That means you have a 1-minute intro, okay? And then what you have is let's say 50 seconds. You have a 50-second intro. Hello. And here's a 50-second intro, you know, right here. Here's a 50-second intro. Let me see. Let me get my timer out. And we're going to be talking about fear, okay? And I'm just going to model this for you real quick. Starting right now. Hello, welcome to our Declare Victory class. This is Intro to Preaching and Teaching. Tonight, I wanted to be talking with you about fear. We're going to be examining where fear comes from, where does fear stem in our life, the process of when we identify that we're battling with fear. We're also going to talk about how, in regards to fear, what do we know about His Word as it pertains to the fear that we're going to go through in our life. Tonight, we're going to dissect the different verses. I'm going to give personal testimony, and I'm going to talk about how you can walk away with practical, pragmatic information on how to overcome fear in your life and minister to others through this breakthrough and through this freedom. Thank you. That right there, 48 seconds, and I got 2 seconds to do whatever I want. But do you see what I'm saying? That should be your intro next week. You do a 50-second, a little, you know, 30 to 50-second intro. I kind of threw in a lot of stuff there that didn't really need to be done. But if you have 10 minutes, let's just set it at 30 seconds, okay? 30-second intro and then a 30-second real quick brief outro where you bring in conclusion, today I talked about fear, the battles that we go through with fear, and how you can stand on Scripture in times of weakness, times where fear is creeping in, and you know that you have a voice from the Word of God. You know that you have a voice because of the cross, and I want to leave you with that, and I want to thank you for listening today, and boom, you're done, right? And just we'll have some kind of system where you're like, all right, and that's it, done. And then I'm going to come in, and I'll give you feedback. So you got a 30-second intro, you got a 30-second outro, okay? That takes you down to 9 minutes. 9 minutes, remember I said we got 3 bullet points, okay? I want you to translate your message into 3 bullet points. You got bullet point 1, where does fear come from? How do we know we're battling with fear? And bullet point 2, what are practical steps to identifying, how to get past fear, whether it's verse or whatever, right? And then bullet point 3, how do we ensure that we stay in a place of freedom from fear? Or whatever it is, you know, what are our triggers or whatever, right? That's not the point. The point is that we got 3 bullet points, okay? And we're analyzing and we're dissecting our subject. And what you want to do with each bullet point is bullet point 1, you need to have a supporting verse that supports that idea. So if it's bullet point 1 is why does God allow fear to happen to us, you need to have a verse that's going to back up that point that you're then going to elaborate on for the next 2.5 minutes. So bullet point 1 would look something like this. So you just gave your intro. Now you're about to get into your 3-minute long bullet point 1, okay? So 30-second intro is done and go. Bullet point 1 is like, why does God allow us to go through fear? And you're going to have your verse that backs it up. You say your verse, let people find it, say where it's at exactly, the chapter of the verse, okay? And then now you're going to elaborate on how does this verse pertain to this concept? Why would God, if He loves us, why would He allow us to go through fear? And you have a verse that says something like, you know, I'll allow you to be you know, there's trials and tests for a season, and then I'm going to bring you to a place of a firm foundation. You know, we know that it's in our testing that brings about perseverance, that brings about, you know, we know that. So now riff on that. Tell me, okay, marry the two concepts together. What does that mean to God allowing us to go through pain and suffering? How does that verse back it up? Break it down. Well, in the original Greek text, it said it because of this. Now, the word in Greek means this, and you should marry that, the core concept of that, in 3 minutes. You should absolutely be able to do that in 3 minutes because it's not hard, and you're taking it all at the surface, okay? And then segue from bullet point one, you should then segue into bullet point two, okay? Also, if we could just make sure everybody's on mute, we're getting a lot of background noise back there. Thank you. I appreciate that. Segue into bullet point two, okay? Same exact thing going on with bullet point two. You're going to say your primary concept. So we know bullet point one was, why does God allow us to go through this? Let me see. I think we're getting some feedback here. That might be me, actually. Okay, there we go. All right, so you segue from bullet point one into bullet point two now, okay? So with bullet point two, you're going to say, so bullet point one was, why does God allow us to go through fear? Bullet point two, okay, so we know that we had to go through it because it's building perseverance, it's building our character, it's building all these things. It's not about right or wrong or morals or ethics or anything. It's about the perseverance of our character, our eternal spirit, and the nature of that. And so point two, how do we identify when we're in a place of sorrow, we're in a place of fear, panic, anxiety, all these things? Have your verse that supports, you know, that introspection. Have your verse that supports it. And, you know, I don't have anything off the top of my head because I'm kind of just improvising it right now. But, you know, you find that verse that supports that concept, and then you elaborate on it and you talk about it and you piece it together. And it's kind of like a song. You write a verse and you write a chorus, and then you write an intro to the song, and you write an outro, and you write a hook and all these things. And then now you bring them together. Now marry all of it together to create your song, to create your piece of art, your piece of work. You might draw, or if you paint, or if you're creative like that, you draw a tree, and you draw a river, and you draw a mountain. Now bring them together now. Bring the colors together. Bring everything together to be one cohesive message. And you do that with point to point three, and then your outro, you close it. It should be very simple. So in conclusion, this is why we go through it. We go through it because of this, because it does this within us. And this is how you know that you're going through it. And this is what God's word says ultimately. And we stand on this to know that we don't succumb to fear. Our peace is meant to be fought for. You know, whatever the heart of your message is peace is us trusting in what God is doing right here and right now. And that's how you're going to do your message next week. And this really works really well because I've had to do, like hour and a half long messages. And I've had to do messages for 10 minutes. When I was in a Bible school in ministry school training, we had to give 10-minute words. And those 10-minute words, they didn't give you necessarily a structure, but that's really hard to do in 10 minutes. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing it in 10 minutes. So what happens is you have to be able to know, like, I'm not saying look at the clock the whole time, but know that you can talk about that first bullet point for around 2 minutes to 3 minutes. You don't even need to stay on all of them for 3 minutes, but just know that you have to like chunk it like that, and you need to stick to it, and you can't go over 10. So it's probably good to at least be looking at the clock. I usually look at the clock every now and then, and I know where I'm at. I know when I need to start wrapping it up. There's sometimes I'm speaking and I'll look at the clock and I'm just kind of like, whoa, I went way too long with point two. I just like, that was not okay. Like, cause now I got to rush point three and you got to wrap it up and you're rushing your conclusion. It gets messy. So like I said, you got an intro, you got bullet point one, supporting verse, marry the two. Segue into bullet point two, your concept, your supporting verse, marry the two. Segue into bullet point three, you got your main concept and your title, your main verse, and then you marry the two ideas, okay? Your verse, your concept with it, from your experience, what you've gone through, from what God told you to speak on, and then you just marry that together. It should always confirm Scripture. It should always conform to Scripture and the heart of Scripture, which what we talked about in class one is love. that's how we translate it. It's always through that lens of love. And then just close out. The conclusion is usually the easiest part because it's kind of like telling somebody, imagine this with your conclusion. If somebody asks you what the movie's about in one sentence, that's what your conclusion's about. It's like somebody, my wife and I just went to go watch Aladdin recently, probably the best movie I've seen all year. I thought it was awesome. If somebody asked me on the way out, oh, you like Aladdin? What was it about? I'd be like, really? You didn't watch it in the 90s? But like, I would just say, this young kid finds a lamp and learns about himself and learns how to do the right thing. And that's pretty much it. Right? Like, that's like a really generalized, like, one sentence, but that's really what you should do. Like a one sentence, like tagline, like recap, like you should be able to say it in one sentence. You should be able to say it through the whole message. And then you should be able to say it with just the title. It always has to be cohesive. You always have to move it through. So one last time recap before we start getting into the open discussion and the popcorn time. And your intro is going to be 30 seconds. And I'm going to send all this out tonight. For sure I'm going to send it out tonight. Last week it took me a little while. I didn't think I was going to have to go out of town last minute. And I was really busy. It was a really busy week last week. So I forgot to send it out that night on Thursday. And then Friday I was already out of town. So 30-second intro for next week. Then you got three 3-minute bullet points. So one more time, that's 3 3-minute bullet points, okay, to illustrate your concept, your idea, what God is telling you to talk about next week. Because I'm telling you, it starts already next week. God's already going to start speaking to you for this already next week. And then a 30-second conclusion. So it's all threes. 30-second intro, bullet point one, 3 minutes. Bullet point two, 3 minutes. Bullet point three, 3 minutes. And then your outro conclusion, 30 seconds. So that should be perfect. You should be able to stick to that. And here's the thing, not to be rude, not to cut you off or anything, but I have to stop everybody at 10 minutes. And I just got to say now, I'm going to jump in at 10 minutes, no matter what. And it's not, I'm not gonna be like, hey, all right, hold up, you know, like, and get all crazy or anything, but I'm just gonna be like, and time, I'm just going to say it for you right there. Okay. Only cause we really got to get everybody. We have a lot of people. Truthfully, I didn't expect this many people to sign up. And I was kind of just thinking it was going to be a little bit more smaller class so we could really, you know, maybe a little more intimate, maybe a little bit more focused, but that's okay. That's totally fine. I know we'll probably come around back to this. We're planning the next class would be a prophetic class. I'll be teaching a prophetic class for the next class, and it's going to be an 8-week course. So maybe we might have to do two separate classes on two separate nights or something like that. But for this class and this course being the first one, I'm just kind of seeing that we don't have a ton of time for everybody to present. Okay. So we really got to keep it to 10 minutes because I really want everybody to get a chance to speak next week. And I know it's going to be great. I know it's going to be fine, but we're just on really, you know, you guys know how it is. We're really on a tight deadline with this, especially this tonight. We got to finish by 8:30. I know we all have so much to share and so much to give, but we really got to keep it on schedule and everything. So, all right, that's it for tonight. I went on a couple minutes, maybe about 10 minutes more than I even thought, but I really wanted to really illustrate that. So quick recap. This week for homework, you're going to be still and listen to God, like be spending time, be asking God, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? What do you want me to teach next week? Because this is it. Once you're on, we're going to start right at like 7:05, right? And once you're on, it's you. You are going, you are giving your declaration, you're giving your message, you're giving your sermon. You're doing it right there for 10 minutes because here's the thing. If you can do it 10 minutes, you can do it for 40. Just change the math. 5-minute intro, 10-minute, you know, 10-minute point one, 10-minute point two, 10-minute point three, 5-minute outro. And boom, you just did a declaration for 40 minutes. Just adjust the math on it, and you can fill any amount of time, okay? So we're doing it the most condensed 10-minute version. But you're going to be able to apply the same concept to anything, and you're going to be able to teach anywhere, I guarantee you. Because as long as you know what God wants to speak to that congregation, you know that God's using what he's put you through to teach it and to validate you, and three, you know the structure, how to structure it out, you are going to be able to speak anywhere in front of anybody, and you're not going to lose confidence. You can even apply this to the workspace and you know, the work sector, you know. So, and it's going to work anywhere. And I promise you it's going to work anywhere because I've seen it work anywhere. I've done it myself everywhere. Last minute, I've done it with 2 weeks to prepare, 2 months to prepare, and I've done it with 25 minutes. There's times where I've written a declaration in 5 minutes, and I did it in 5 minutes, that right before 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's just the way it is. Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you got to get called in. Sometimes somebody's going to ask you to go up, like I said. So that's what the structure is going to be like. I want you to be listening this week, and please, please, please get to me by Saturday. Because if you don't have something by Saturday, then I can't let you go next week, because I don't want you to just get something jumbled all, you know, just 10 minutes of just all over the place. I want you to stick to the structure. I want you to really be concise. I want you to be mechanical. I want it to be precision. You know, that's what I'm expecting from this, because I know everybody in this class, and I know you guys are all very gifted, very, very, it's so strong, you can feel it. And I want you to follow this. I want you to really, really submit to this structure and really do that next week. So please be listening out and let God put on your heart what you're going to talk about next week, and just email me. And all it needs to be is 2 bullet points. Just let me know, hey, one is, I feel God speaking to me, telling me to speak about this. And two, this is kind of what I want to talk about with it. This is where I want to take it. I'm going to be like, all right, cool. I want you to write. We should have 2 emails going back and forth to each other. Okay. Those 2 emails should be one where you tell me all that and we kind of tailor it. And I'm going to ask you, okay, once we approve it and it's good, then I'm going to say email 2, what I want you to do is write out to me an outline. What's going to be your intro? What's going to be your outro? And what are your 3 bullet points going to be about? And what are your supporting verses for that? And I want to have this done at least before next Wednesday so we can have everybody going. And I'm really, really excited, looking forward to this, because I know you guys have some good stuff, and I know people are going to get started. I know that we in this class, we are going to be moved and touched by your message. I genuinely believe that, and I'm so excited to hear everybody's stuff. So let's get into that. And so what I'm going to do now is we're going to go into, I don't remember who did what last class, so you're going to have to tell me. I'm going to go by one by one. And I'm going to give you a popcorn, okay? Where everybody in class, everybody that I have here, but real quick before I go through, I just want to take roll again. Was Ramona here? Okay, no Ramona. Was Yvette?
Yes, yes, it is Ramona. I was just trying to unmute my phone. I can't look. Oh, that's my phone.
It's all
game.
Good. Okay. Okay, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's all good. I got you.
I still need the recap though.
Okay, yeah, I'll send those out tonight. I'm gonna send out all 3 classes to everybody tonight, okay, along with the final homework prompt or the final sermon prompt. And was Yvette on tonight? Okay, no Yvette. And then did we have Miss D? Miss D, were you on tonight? And then Sonia. Sonia, were you on tonight? Okay. All right, so only missing 3 tonight. So let's go ahead. So first on my list, Gloria, did you go last week? I don't remember.
I gave you something to do last week.
Okay, so Gloria, you haven't gone yet then. So,
no, I haven't gone.
Okay, so you get to go up first and give me a tagline sermon, okay, on a car breaking down.
Okay. Okay, so a car breaking down, um, in Christ Jesus, we have all that we need. We have the fullness of God through Christ. He supplies all our needs. He supplies everything that we need in order to be in full relationship with God. And our responsibility is to stay in communion with the Father through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And so like a car breaking down, if we don't keep our, if we don't stay in communion with him, if we don't keep, have the stillness that we're supposed, that we need to have with him in order to get our, stillness is like a, having a, when you take the car in for service. So the service, the service that we get done on a car is like our spirit being, our spirit being serviced in our time with the Holy Spirit through quietness. So the more stillness we have, the more we avoid our breakdown of our spiritual cars. So that's what I got.
Okay, that's really good. I like that. That was really good. That is a perfect message right there. I mean, that is a message you can walk into any church across the country this Sunday and you can give that message and people are going to walk out and they're going to be touched by that. That's exactly the point of this. That is perfect. Okay, next is Ramona. Did you go last week?
No, I didn't go last week.
Okay, you didn't go.
My phone on the blow up all of a sudden. Every time you ask me a question, it's a phone call coming in.
Sorry.
Okay. No, I didn't go last week.
Okay, so here we go for you. Okay, I got a brand new TV, but it's only in black and white. Give me a sermon out of that.
Let's see here. All the while, only thing that's coming in my head right now is, long as you get the picture. I don't know why. As long as you get the picture, right. God got the color. You're going to breathe the color into it. You know?
That's awesome.
I don't know. That's
elaborate. Keep going with that. Elaborate. Keep going with it.
Okay. As long as you get the picture, you know, black and white things and all, you know, things may seem black and white. Things may seem black and white, you know, it's just one way or the other. But, you know, through God, through Christ, he gives us different paths, different ways, different ways of seeing things. So if you may see, it may be just in black and white, but know that if you want color, you want to feel love and life, you got to get it through God. You got to get it through Jesus so you can get the full picture because everything ain't black and white.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. I love that because we can already have something that we think is fine, but we see that it's not everything. And God brings that definition. He brings that additional color. He brings it. This is something that people need to hear. This is taking a concept, a very simple concept, and you're translating it. I mean, that was just, you just knocked it out of the park. You hit a home run right now. That's so perfect. I'm going to go a little bit quicker because I still wanted to give an open discussion time, but the next person on my list that I know hasn't gone, last week is Andrew. Are you still on, Andrew?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're up, bud. You got a flickering light bulb. Give me a sermon out of it.
Darkness is not something that's abstract. Darkness is real, but darkness is easily taken away simply by a light. The smallest light. It doesn't have to be a bonfire. A candle, let's say, will dissipate the darkness. No matter how far away you are in pitch blackness, you will see that candle. Our lives, mirroring Christ, are like candles. He told us that we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. As we navigate through this darkness, through all the evil that permeates this world, the sin that encrusts it, our little lights are supposed to shine. Okay? But the storms will come. The storms will blow against your flame. The rain will pelt it, and your flame will not be as vibrant at times as it might be, as it had been.
Mm.
And you may feel like you're missing the mark when that happens, but your job is to be that little light, and you just keep it shining. Okay, just like with the menorah in the temple, there was a constant supply of oil. All the flame had to do was its job, and that was just to be flame. There was always going to be fuel for that flame, and the Spirit does that too. The Spirit will strengthen us. The Spirit will secure us. The Spirit will embolden us that our flame will still be a fire.
Awesome.
And it may flicker. It just doesn't have to go out.
Amen. Dude, I was about to get my notebook out right now, start taking notes and everything. I'm just like, I was looking over at my neighbor next to me. I was like, that was good. That's good. You guys are totally, totally nailing this. This is totally, totally exactly where we're. Okay, so next up, Trina, did you go last week?
No, I kind of skipped it.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable tonight getting a prompt?
I guess I can try it.
Yeah, it's totally. I mean, you could totally try it if you want. If you want to phone a friend, somebody else in class. Pretty much everybody's here, except for Yvette and Miss D and Sonia. If you want to ask somebody anything you want. I mean, we're all here to help each other. So what I want you to give me a sermon about is a seed becoming a plant, a seed growing from seed to plant. Give me a sermon on that. And you can ask someone for help if you need to. You want to kind of formulate it, but a seed going from seed to plant.
Okay, what I'm getting right now is a seed. When you speak to someone, you minister to someone for the first time, and they don't receive what you are saying to them when you minister to them, but you're doing your part by planting that seed in them. There's other people that they probably have contact with, in their life, would plant another seed, and it would keep growing and growing.
Amen. That was amazing. You totally, totally did it. That was so perfect. I was literally just talking about that to, I think I was telling my wife, it was somebody else, but my wife and I were talking about what, I mean, you just broke it wide open on that, because that is so perfect. You know why that's so perfect? Because I was just saying sometimes we just need to plant the seed. We're not there to water the plant. We're not there to cultivate the soil. You might be the person that just plants seed like that. That, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you guys, this stuff, you can walk into each one of what's you've heard already tonight. You can walk into any church in America, any church in the world, and give that message, and it is going to reach people. You're going to reach people. This is great stuff, guys. I think, let's see, Beverly, did you go last week? Do we have Beverly?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Yes, I did go last week.
Okay, cool. So, Barbara, you went last week, right?
No, I did not.
Okay, Barbara, you're up. Okay, so I want you to give me a sermon about an empty cup.
Oh, my Lord. What I'm getting from that is that before Christ came into my life was like an empty cup. I had nothing. As I studied God's word and have learned about Jesus and how Jesus loves me, my cup is filling. Every time I open up the Bible and I read a verse, it fills my cup more so.
Whew. Preach it, Barbara. Preach it. That was good. That was perfect. That's so perfect. And that's exactly what we were talking about with the stillness. You're getting filled back up. When you're spending time with God, when you're filling yourself up with the word, you're getting filled back up. That's so, so perfect. So perfect. Okay. Leticia, or did you go last week?
No, I didn't go last week.
Okay, Leticia, I want you to give me a sermon using a belt like a pants belt.
Okay. Sometimes in life, you go through life and you make mistakes. Some are your fault and some are out of your control. But when those are done, there are consequences that you have to face. And sometimes, many times, you get disciplined when you're a child, and as so with your biological parents.
Leticia, are you there? I think we're losing you. I think we're losing your signal. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I got you now. I can hear you now.
Okay. Not for sure. I'm not for sure where I cut off at, but I was saying with the belt, it comes this a form of discipline that you had to endure with not just your biological parents, because that was something that you were used to, that God had to send the same type of symbol to you sometimes so you can know when you're off track that, hey, that form of discipline, that belt, so that you can get right back in line on where you're supposed to be doing and where you have
to
be.
Wow, that's good. Wow, that's good. That's really good. That makes me think of some times when I've just symbolically, I've observed different things, God showing me something, God illuminating to me something that guided me back to a place of just knowing, being focused, being on the right path. And that's really good. That very a little bit more abstract than that concept. That's really good. I really like that a lot. Really, really good stuff, you guys. Next up we have Renee. Did you go last week, Renee? No, Renee. Okay, so that is everybody. That's the last of. I didn't miss anybody, right? I'm gonna totally use the honor system here, but did I miss anyone? Didn't get to popcorn sermon.
I want to try one. This is Juliet. I messed up.
Oh, okay. All right, Juliet. I have one for you. I had one last one in my mind. This one's a little bit more of a tough one, okay? I want you to give me a sermon using a shoe.
Okay. A shoe. Shoes are used to travel. And shoes are used to travel and travel through. And when I'm looking at, when I think about shoes traveling through life, sometimes your shoes take you in different directions. Sometimes they take you in a direction that is in a good place, and sometimes it takes you in a direction that's not so good. But the scripture says that that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So find that pathway, then I can guide those shoes on the path that is lit up to take me through life.
Nice. That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect. that started, like, this is how you know, just for example, and I know everybody's probably felt this, and everything I heard tonight really made me feel this way. Like, everything that you guys just shared tonight, when you hear something really good like that, it starts to open your mind to other things. You're, that person's still speaking, and you're still paying attention, but what happens now is your mind starts to open up to, like, oh, man, you know what? God's, like, equipping me in different things in different seasons. And it's, like, it was rooted. And then, like, exponentially now, you're starting to get more and more revelation from God just from that one person's, like, that one message, that one part of the message that really stuck with you and really hit you. Now you're starting to get other revelation. That's when you know you're opening a gate for people right now. Like, so that's why when I'm hearing what you guys go into this, like I said, you can go into any church and speak these messages because you guys already get it now. You already got this. This is in. We're ready for next week. You know, like, we're going to do this now. But what's happening is now you're encouraging other people's spirit to continue to, like, expound on those, like, to continue to, like, approach God, you know, like, to continue to, like, wow, I'm getting more stuff. And that's what happens for me. Like, if I'm in a prayer meeting or something and someone's just really praying passionately, you know, those, like, passionate prayer warriors where they're just, like, they're passionate. I will sometimes start to hear more from God in that moment because of that person's faith. Like, have you ever met somebody and their faith just, it blows, it just, like, hits you in the face, you know? You're just kind of like, whoa, that person, like, they really got it, you know, like, they're just really, and then it pushes you further, and then it pushes, because faith has, it's contagious like that sometimes, like, oh, if they believe, well, then I'll do it too, you know, I believe, I'm waiting on a cue, I'm there now too. So that's powerful, what you got, that's very powerful, and I know we're going to see a lot more of that next week. So let's do this, next week we're going to start sharp, right at 7, try to be on at 7, because the first person is going to be on at 7:05, is what I'm going to do. Have your messages ready to go by, like, Tuesday, okay, after we've been dialoguing. You and I should be going back and forth, and I want to have that email from you, okay, before we start going, because I really want to, I really, really, really want to make sure that we have as much structure as possible. So I'm only doing this. If I get an email from you, everybody, I'm going to send this out to everybody too. If I get the email response from you, that's your way of telling me that, hey, I want to get scheduled for the final next week. Schedule me in for the final, because I'm going to put a together schedule and I'm going to send it out Tuesday night. I'm going to send out the schedule to see who goes at which time, what your time slot is, and make sure that you're ready to go at that time slot, okay? But if I don't get anything from you, I can't schedule you for a sermon because we haven't had time to prepare it together. So I'm saying this out to everybody. Make sure you get your subject to me and a testimony to back it up so that I can get you scheduled for next week. Because if I don't get anything from you, I can't schedule you to speak next week. I'm going to send out all three playbacks tonight, and I'm going to send out the prompt and the response. I got all of that ready to go. I'm literally going to send it out right at, like, at 8:30, 8:35, whenever we finish tonight. So really great stuff tonight, you guys. I'm going to open it up for about 10 minutes or so for some questions. I want to give you guys as much time. Probably we won't go on too late tonight, but because I want to give you as much time to start getting your message ready for next week. But remember, 30-second intro, 3-minute bullet point one, and a supporting verse. 3-minute bullet point two and a supporting verse. 3-minute bullet point three and a supporting verse. 30-second outro, and then that's it. That's all you got, and you got to fit that into 10 minutes. And then I'm going to give you live feedback, real time. I'm only going to talk for about no more than a couple minutes, okay? But I will jump in at the 10-minute mark. Okay? I'm going to time everybody 10 minutes exactly. You got to fill up that 10 minutes. So, I'm going to open it up now if anybody has any questions, but that's pretty much the heart and core of tonight. I'm going to send out the responses and the playbacks in the email. Make sure you get back to me. Please, please, I can't stress that enough. Make sure that you get back to me what your subject is and a structure for it so I can get you scheduled. because I'm going to have, like, for example, it'll be, you know, this is just an example. This isn't the actual schedule. This is just an example. I'm going to send out the schedule to everybody next Tuesday night, and it's going to be like, okay, 7:05 to 7:15 is going to be Gloria, and then 7:20 to 7:30 is going to be Bernice, and then 7:35 to 7:45 is going to be Andrew. You know, it's going to say that, so make sure you're on your slot, because if someone's not on, we're going to just move to the next person. I'm going to move you up. So if your slot's at 7:35, but the person that was supposed to go on at 7:20 isn't on, then I'm going to move you up to 7:20. So make sure you're just on so we can support everybody and we can have everybody listening. And we're going to take, I am going to take roll to make sure that we have everybody there at 7 o'clock. But even if your night is Thursday night, please still call in Wednesday night, because you might have to go Wednesday night if somebody's not on. And I just want to have all of us there supporting each other. We've been there for each other through the popcorn stuff. And I think it would just be really, really great. And don't be nervous or anything. Like, God speaks through you. Every single one of you, you just heard this week and last week, God speaks through you. And you heard it in that popcorn. God absolutely speaks through you. So don't be nervous. Don't be afraid. This is not a place of judgment. It's not a place where we're going to be like, oh, I don't know about that word. That was a little weird. I don't know if I tracked with that. Like, it's not who we are. We're equipping each other. We're strengthening each other. So what I want to do for the next 10 minutes is I just want to open it up. If anybody has any closing comments, or if you have any questions about tonight, or if you have any questions about next week, anything, let's ask it. Ask it here. There might be 5 other people that have the same question. So if you have anything, I'm now opening it if you have any comments or questions.
It's Renee. I just want to apologize. I was trying to get to the phone and get off mute, but I'm here.
Okay, no worries. Got you, Renee. I'm going to put you right. Okay, yeah, I got you.
So, Pastor Moses, do you want us to get like a word that we're going to come out, or a phrase or what?
So for next week, this is what's going to happen. So what I want you to do is being still and asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to speak on next week? What subject, what topic? It could just be your testimony, and you just talk about 3 different points maybe. It could be about a subject like mercy, and God's really putting on your heart, I want you to teach about mercy next week. So what you're going to do is you get that message about mercy, and then phase 2, going into class 2, phase 2, what you're going to do is you're going to rack through your memory, what do I know about mercy? What have I gone through that demonstrates mercy? What part of my testimony demonstrates God's mercy? And then what you're going to do is you're going to structure it. 30-second intro about your message on mercy. And then your bullet point 1 is, what is one concept about mercy? And that could be it. Bullet point 1 is, what is mercy? And then you have a supporting verse for it, and you talk about that for 3 minutes. Then segue into bullet point 2, how do we utilize God's mercy in our life? And then have a verse for it, and then supporting material for 3 minutes. Segue into your final point, how do we show God's mercy to others and show his character to others? And then a supporting verse for it, and then elaborate on that for 3 minutes, and then boom, 30 seconds, tie it all together in your conclusion, and then you're done. So that's what I want for next week from everybody. I want you to get one subject similar to that, like either mercy, or it could be about, you know, it could be anything, the importance of scripture. It could be fear. It could be joy. It could be battling with depression. It could be anything like that. I just want 3. I want an intro. I want bullet point 1, supporting verse, bullet point 2, supporting verse, bullet point 3, supporting verse, and then an outro. And I want you to shape your message in like that. But it can be anything. I just want you to email me first, so we're talking about. I don't want you to, like, go into, you know, like, email me and be like, hey, I want to talk about, you know, the concept of the Trinity in the 1500s and things like that. It's like, that's cool. You know, that I would love to hear that. But, like, it's just for this audience, that's not really the right time. And then I'll kind of help you tailor it to, well, why don't you just talk about the importance of understanding the nature of the Holy Spirit and how Jesus, you know, provided the path for us to receive the Great Helper. And this is all an extension of God's love. And, you know, maybe simplify it down. That's what I want us to do in this. And that's why I really want everybody to email me so we know I can work on it with you, what we're going to talk about or what you're going to talk about, but we can work on tailoring that together. And then getting it into a structure of 10 minutes.
Mother?
So, yeah.
Hi, I have a quick question for all of us. So basically our three bullet points can be like a what, why, and how, or something like that, right? Is that what you said? Like a what does it mean? And then second bullet point would be why, and then...
Yes, absolutely. That's the way I do it. I always do it like that. Like if it's like mercy, I'm going to be... My first bullet point is usually what is mercy? Why do we need mercy? And then how do we show that? I always use what, where, why, how. I always use those in messages. So thank you so much for pointing that out. I forgot to talk about that tonight. But yeah, it's absolutely 100%. Yes, 100%. That's how I usually do it. So you can take something like if God's giving you joy, you can take what is joy, how do we harness and utilize joy, and why do we need joy in our battle for our peace, you know, something like that. So yeah, thank you for saying that. That's really helpful.
And Moses, you did kind of point that out. In fact, that's why I've got written in my notes. Why or what steps, how to do it, and then how to be, the what, why, where, and how is what I was thinking about too, Moni.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. That is going to, that's just, I for me, it's just the easiest way to do it, and you really, really can dissect it in there. And 3 minutes is a decent amount of time for a 10-minute message to talk on something like that, like on the where. So yeah, absolutely. Does anybody else have any other questions, any other comments, anything?
Excellent lesson tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, guys, so if that's everything for tonight, let's go ahead. I'm going to get the playbacks. I'm going to get everything. Really, really great, amazing stuff tonight. And I want to just remind you, you can do this. You can absolutely do this. We literally went through, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17 people did this tonight and last week, and that's just so amazing. You guys took something out of nothing and created a sermon on it. So for example, like with Juliet, you got a shoe, right? What you can do is, and you talked about, you know, like making it through that process, right? You can create an intro and an outro from that, and then break that into three points. Why do we need to go through it? How does God shape us and prepare us for that process? And three, how does he protect us as we're going, as we're walking along that path? And, you know, I mean, boom, you just got your 10-minute message right there. You see what I'm saying? Like, you just got to stretch it out. And that's the cool thing about formulas is you can use a formula, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. That same concept works for 1 million + 1 million. You know, like it's that same formula works. You know, you can do that. And that's the great thing here. Is you follow this formula, intro, outro, point one supporting verse, point two supporting verse, point three supporting verse, and it's going to work for you. So we're going to close out. I'm going to see if actually we can have somebody close us out in prayer for tonight. But Renee, are you still on? Would you be down to close us out in prayer?
I'm here.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, if you're down, please close us out in prayer tonight for our last class.
Sure. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your holy word, oh God. We thank you for our brother Moses and what he has given to us, God. We thank you for the anointing that's on his life. I pray, God, that you would bless these, your people, Thank you for the words that have fallen on our ears that we may meditate on it, process it, God, and use it to help edify your kingdom. I pray, oh God, that everyone would have restful sleep and bless us to come back again on next week. I praise you and I thank you for these things. Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. Pastor Smith. And I'm so excited to hear your messages next week, Wednesday night and Thursday night, okay?
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
All right, good night, everybody.
Have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. God bless you, everyone.
Good night.